Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 Thang podcast. Says intro team. Hi team. Okay, unfortunately, Sunter's away. Gav's at home with COVID. And I'm not going to give little Simon the oxygen of publicity. So I guess if you listen to the podcast, you're the team. Hi. Coming up, smile and say cheese as we enter the fromagerie de tigerie. I've got three big cheese stories of the week. Hey, that was good, that, with the cheese theme. I really enjoyed that. Plus, I've got the greatest ever headline in the history of newspapers, space travel, and live animal experimentation. All that with a skydiver, I say all that, those two with a skydiver from North Carolina, hoping to God their chute will open in the narrow, fetid depths of the Woodman's heroic little slot. Enjoy.
Radio X.
Rockin' rolling all week long.
Rockin' roll.
I tell you, I've never felt more rockin' roll than we were last night watching the Eagles. Do you know what, Gav? Even growing up, they were like a band for the generation above me.
Yeah, they were my sort of uncle's records.
Yeah, right.
They're right.
But as Joe Walsh pointed out brilliantly last night,
yeah,
he's conscious of that. One of the best lines I've ever heard by someone on stage. Joe Walsh suddenly goes, and he looks like he's partied.
Oh, he's been through the wars.
He's partied. And instantly, a great moment to see him do the, my Maserati does 185. Would you say he didn't cough?
No, that wasn't part of the
That
act.
Was a bit of popcorn. Anyway, so he said, he's looked to the crowd. The crowd's going crazy throughout. It's a mellow atmosphere.
It is, yeah.
But every word is sung.
Right.
And this is in Hyde Park, the Eagles. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Hyde Park, the Eagles, as part of the American Express series of one-nighters. Absolutely fantastic.
It was Elton amazing,
John,
yeah.
Elton John, the Stones, and the Eagles. I mean, I know Macca rocked the world at Glastonbury, but eat your heart out.
Yeah.
I'm going for the Stones, Elton, and the Eagles still.
Yeah, I would too. There's no tube stations at
or really good kebab shop.
Right.
Where I had easily got a table afterwards down the side street, which is fantastic. Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. Anyway, he said, you know what?
And you're not exaggerating the voice here.
He goes, you know what? I had more fun in my 20s, in the 70s, than I'm having in my 70s. In the 20s. Just a towering line.
And he looked like he was having so much fun.
He did say it was the best concert he'd ever done. He said that was the best, wasn't he? At the end, he mouthed words, that was the greatest.
Sure.
That was the greatest. Then he looked at me and went, Tej.
That's right. I just heard that. Yeah.
But I have to say, Gav,
yeah,
as I always say, the best moments from good, the real great gigs live on the next morning in like a dream you've had.
Yeah.
You're not smart enough or talented enough to ever have yourself.
Right.
You couldn't dream that kind of poetry, music, or visuals. And the next day, that ending guitar, I know, God, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. But the end guitar solo
in Hotel California. Which we all know back to front, but to see it and hear it together.
Well, I walked back with my son and his friend, and it's really weird that all three of us could do every single...
With the sun going down, the golden sky.
It was unbelievable.
It was bad.
The thing is, I've never even been that big a fan.
I know, mate, I haven't even got an Eagles record.
No.
But because we knew all the songs, it does help, doesn't it?
Osmosis.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, I was suddenly thinking, well, how come I know? I mean, I've been to see bands that I really like and I don't know every song.
Right, right.
Because you sit there and realise, you know, every single tune.
And all the lyrics.
Yes.
It's just weird, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, it was getting so unexpected. Like, I didn't know they did. I know they opened with Johnny Come Lately, which was nice for me to walk into, actually.
That's true, yeah.
I felt kind of good.
Johnny Come Lately, that's right.
With those cans in his wet pockets. Yeah. Just took
There's
your cans
in. There's a new kid in town.
Thank you. And that's on the way in. You know what kind of gig you're going into when you walk in and you bump into Linda Lasardi.
That's true, yes, we did, yeah.
Nice, got herself with her. Yeah. Very nice old friend.
Yeah.
Gav, what's the other big tune we went crazy for? Oh, Take It to the Limit.
Yeah.
We were going mad.
Take It to the Limit and Take It Easy.
Yeah, Take It.
And Witchy Woman.
The funny thing was there were five denim-clad witchy women behind us who were doing that witchy woman rock dancing.
Yeah.
And only sort of women of a certain age. You've had a few ciders.
From San Francisco.
And I suspect a little bit of something else. And they were just looking really mellow, but they're looking like they're really getting into the witchiness of it.
They were so Woodstock, weren't they?
Really Woodstock, yeah. But also, Kev, what's the one I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
The one with the noodly start.
Life's been good?
No, it's got the new... Yeah.
Life in the Fast
Lane. Life in the Fast Lane.
That was a moment.
When you hear that, you thought, of course, that's the Eagles.
That's right.
I mean, they were claiming so many songs I didn't know were theirs, like Take to the Limit, which I thought was a country tune.
Right.
I thought, like, any second we were going to get someone like, Hold the Line!
I know.
All sort of crazy tunes like that. Anyway, it was a truly great night.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Hey, guys. Gav and I, as I said at the start of the show, we were at the Eagles on Saturday. And they played this one tune. And Gav decided to lay a gag on me.
Right at the poignant sort of emotional moment.
Right at a really poignant emotional moment of a band I didn't even know I liked. But it turns out you'll know all their tunes through osmosis. This is the end of it. Gav, just do exactly what you did.
Okay, so I'll just play it, and then I'm just going to say what I said into your ear.
It was a really profound silence at the end of this song, and Gav, you're now me. This is what you'd have heard. Here we go.
Let somebody love you before it's too
Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome Chris Eubank?
Right. So I started really laughing, thinking unlikely appearances. Yeah. So then we started just going through more and more and more, and it really distracted. At one point, we were told to shut up because we're laughing so much.
That's right, yeah.
That stupid special guest suggestion. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome...
There's loads.
Jim Davidson. You know, the Eagles.
I know. Jim Rosenthal.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Nick Knowles?
It was such an American moment. I just thought it'd be really weird.
It was extraordinary. Anyway, imagine then our shock for their last number.
Right.
When suddenly Joe Walsh goes, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome John McEnroe! We were like, what?
What?
At an Eagles gig?
Yeah, and he wasn't just doing, like, tennis shots.
No, this is what our thought was. Instead, he came on to play guitars. Yeah. So at one point, you're looking now, you're thinking, does a band really need 7 guitars in a row?
Right, right, exactly. And is John McEnroe really... You know, that good on the guitar, they need to add him in.
At which point, then my son, who joined the discussion, said, what do you want him to do, Dad? Like knock a tennis ball against a wall while they're all done? I said, well, that'd be good, yes.
Yeah.
That'd be really good. That'd be a really good thing in a gig if they bring on a special guest, like, ladies and gentlemen, John McEnroe, and he's in tennis gear and he's just hitting a ball against the wall or facing it from like one of those service machines.
Right.
And they're going, 120 miles an hour. Or they go, ladies and gentlemen, Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Yeah,
and
he's just tricks.
And he's just doing trick shots in the background on something much more interesting on the big screen.
Give us a show.
Give us a show, right.
That's all it is.
83936, please, your suggestions for who could have appeared and what they could have done. I'm interested. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, Prue Leaf! And she bakes something. And in the background is Prue and Paul Hollywood, and they're going to bake a cake.
X.
Hello, Chris Moyles here. I'm so sorry to interrupt your podcast enjoyment. I'm with my friend Dominic Byrne.
Hello there, I'm sorry.
You may remember us, we used to be on the radio back in the day. Well, we still are.
Still doing it.
Anyway, we do a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called The Chris Moyles Show on Radio X Podcast, and it's all the best bits of our radio show from the week, with all those pesky songs and things taken out.
That's it.
And some hilarious things in there.
I'm just really laughing thinking about it.
Download it right now from Global Player.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Gav, I'm very suspicious of something that's happened in the Thames.
What?
This is the 4 till 7 thing. You listen to Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. That's Gavin Woods, who's with me. I need your expertise, Gav.
Go on.
A wet wipe island the size of 2 tennis courts has formed in the Thames.
What?
Yeah.
What, they've congealed together into one physical body?
Yes, a wet. We've had a lardberg.
Yes, we have.
In Leicester Square. The government is considering a ban on wet wipes that contain plastics in an attempt to cut the pollution caused by them. What, you haven't thought of this already?
Yeah, this is old. This
and can I just say this? Don't do anything for about a year. because I've got a two. I've got Milton's, not quite two, but I still wish are quite water wipe reliant. So ban them,
but not quite.
Little sight. I know you've gone with you've gone with genuine toweling nappies,
reusable,
haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you given that up?
Yeah, I've got reusable wet wipes as well. Well, they're just flannels. They're basically flannels.
Right.
And you keep them in a tub of water.
Yeah.
And you just use them instead of wet wipes.
And how's that going for you?
Perfectly well. Yeah, really.
Yeah, I know, but you're sort of raising, I know you and your miss, you're like raising a Victorian child, essentially, aren't you?
They are, aren't they? Yeah.
You know.
He's already reading Latin, apparently.
Yeah. He can only...
He's not even two.
But you are, that's what you're doing, aren't you?
Yeah.
He's been inoculated against things like dropsy. Seriously. I mean, I know he had... Most people use things like, you know...
Falling sickness.
Yes, Nurofen Junior, whereas they've got like a cornflower poultice they put on the lad's head if he's got... So it's not quite... Anyway, the government is considering a ban on wet wipes. Rebecca Powell, an environment... An environmental minister said that if members of the public need to use wet wipes, they shouldn't flush them into the drains. That's the key. You stick them in a bin, then they're landfill.
Yeah.
But Gav, what gets me about this? Wet wipe island, the size of two tennis courts. Oh, yeah. We can see the agenda going on here. No, there's an agenda, Gav. You've got the King Power Stadium, haven't you?
Yes.
Stadiums are the Emirates Stadium, the Etihad Stadium.
Yes.
There's stadiums cropping up everywhere, just named after something. This is going to be like the Wet Wipe Stadium. And they're going to have tennis there.
Tennis tournaments on
tennis
the tennis.
Exactly right.
Welcome to the Wet Wipe.
Welcome to the Wet Wipe Stadium. Quite a blowy day on the Thames, but everyone getting the ferry out here.
I tell you, eyes are dry, though, here on Wet Wipe Island.
Two courts.
Yes.
That's centre and number one, isn't it?
I love it.
And I mean, you wonder, by the time they get it going, how many courts there'll be?
What kind of surface do you think? Will they go with clay or grass or just wet wipe?
Wet wipe. There'll be some sort of...
Oh, he's great on wet wipe.
You know, he's really good on wet wipe. What is a sort of hybrid plastic?
Right.
And, you know, a little bit of juice, but it's nice. It comes off it quite slowly. It takes the spin off it, but...
It's
called Wet Wipe Island. Either that, Gav, or we got a new Alcatraz situation. That'll be really unpleasant in the summer.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Don't send me there. To Wet Wipe Island.
Yeah.
Ah!
You are to be taken from here.
In the summer, all you can get is a slight... Sick.
What is that?
It's a nappy. It's like a nappy
going up. Old nappy.
Old nappy of the heat of the Thames just shimmering above Wet Wipe Island. Prisoners, no!
It could be a reality show.
Well, Love Island.
Wet Wipe Island.
Everyone sits there with like dripping noses and food around their mouth. And it gets so irritating. It's the first
really
to go
high
for,
chairs.
First to go for the wet wipes to clean off. It.
Yeah, they are going to eat barbecue ribs with loads of sticky sauce on.
And also donuts after that with loads of sugar on them. And you've got the wet wipes there and it's Wet Wipe Island. Well, you've joined us at the Wet Wipe Island.
Now we're 3 days in.
Championship and he's... Well, once he's gone for the ribs, he's got a lot of barbecue sauce around his chin there, but his opponent there, the Greg-sponsored donut eater, literally his face looks almost like it's made of sugar.
Not a glass of water to hand.
Someone just flourishing a wet wipe in front of his nose.
Oh, he's tempted, isn't he?
He's tempted. He wants to go for it, but he doesn't. He doesn't. Instead, he's picked up some heavily buttered sweet corn.
Radio X.
Let's have some cheese news.
Cheese.
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 Here we go. Do you want some cheese news, Gav?
Yeah.
Cheese. Cheese. All about cheese. All about cheese. Cheese. All about cheese. All about cheese. Okay, here we go, Gav. You ready?
Can we just keep doing that?
Cheese news. I'm talking cheese news. Okay, we ready?
Go on.
Choosing a vegan cheese feels virtuous, Gav, but you know what?
What?
It might even be good for the environment.
Right.
But they replicate the texture. Mm. They give a little bit of the taste of dairy cheeses.
Uh-huh.
But they contain little or no nutritional value. You might as well eat literally just paper.
You're kidding.
No, nothing. Nothing. And an expert has warned about this.
Oh, my God.
Get back, vegan cheese eaters!
It's a fraud!
Get back! I warn you! In fact, Gav,
yeah,
excessive consumption could raise the risk of type 2 diabetes and heart disease.
Oh, my God.
According to Richard Hoffman, associate lecturer in nutritional biochemistry at the University of Hertfordshire.
So what the hell is it made of?
I don't know if he sounds like that at all.
I'm sure he does.
I don't think he does.
Is it like synthetic sugars and fats or something? What is it? What's it made of?
They contain little or none of the micronutrients found in their dairy brothers.
Right. The proteins.
Yep.
Right.
30-gram serving of vegan cheese can contain a third of the recommended daily amount of saturated fat.
Yeah.
To wit, item two.
Go on.
Yeah, so lay off the vegan cheese. You might as well literally just go out and have a, you know...
A spoon of lard.
Spoon of lard.
Much better for you.
Guys.
Go on.
There is one cheese. All cheese is good for you. That's widely known.
Sure.
Because we're talking about cheese.
Go on.
Cheese. I'm talking about cheese. Talk about cheese. Talk about cheese. Talk about cheese. Talk about cheese. Okay, you ready for this?
Go on.
Hey, you decided to go deep there as well. Interesting.
I decided to drop down a fur.
But before we start... Okay, you ready for this?
Go on.
There's one cheese that's better than the rest to support your bones. Parmigiano.
Is it? Why?
Yeah, it not only contains one of the highest amounts of calcium per serving amongst all cheeses.
Right.
It contains phosphorus, another important bone-supporting mineral.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love Parmesan.
Adults who consume massive amounts of cheese have stronger bones.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Because of the calcium and phosphorus, stronger bones. Another bonus, Parmesan is delicious.
Yes, it is.
No, sorry. Parmesan is very low in lactose.
Right.
Thanks to its long aging time.
Yeah, it dries out, doesn't it?
So people who are lactose intolerant may be able to still eat Parmigiano. In fact, my daughter doesn't really get on with milk, but she's fine with the Parmigiano.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. See.
Well, it's delicious.
2 tablespoons of Parmesan per day is plenty to get over 30% of your daily value of both calcium and phosphorus. And last up, I'm afraid, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly of cheese, this, Gav.
Go on.
It's the bad, the good.
Yeah.
Here's the ugly, I'm afraid.
Go on.
The Queen's Cheddar Cheese supplier has been stung for $1.5 million and a fine.
Why?
After admitting 21 river pollution offences.
Oh, no.
Yep. I'm afraid so. This is at the Davidstow Creamery. It's Cornwall.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Sure.
They can't. You can't leave the Cornish.
No, they need observing.
To police. No, they need observing at all times. Sure. They will do stuff like this.
Absolutely.
This is the sort of they pull.
They need to be supervised.
Yes. Let it in the river. That'll make him suffer down the line. Probably might even go to Devon. They produce Cathedral City cheddar, which isn't a bad, what I call house cheddar.
It's not bad, yeah.
Judge Simon Carter, Crown Court, said there were problems from the start with the new facility, but the company continued to operate despite that, probably frightened of their Cornish employees.
Wow.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is all I've got to say on the subject of cheese. 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 I'm talking about cheese. Cheese.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Every single day of the week, the woodman furnished with a hero. Let's have it.
Okay, Johnny, today's hero is a woman called Joan Murray. This is a story from...
I know Joan well.
This is a story from 1999. At the time, Joan Murray was... her hobby was skydiving. She'd made 35 jumps, so she had quite a bit of experience.
I'm always amazed at people who never get out of that stage and they carry on. Everyone's done it for like a year, cut a year.
Right.
You've jumped from one herky bird into combat. You've done it.
Sure.
You don't want to do it as a hobby. You know what I mean? For me, that's war.
Yeah. So on September 25th, 1999, Joan, who was then 47 and a banking executive from North Carolina.
Christmas Day.
Made her, made her 36th jump from 14,500 feet. She free-falled for 45 seconds, pulled her main chute, which failed, Nothing happened, so she pulled.
Have you ever had that happen?
No.
It's such a bad feeling, man.
Wow, yeah, of course.
So, especially when the second one goes.
Oh, Matt, well, she pulled her reserve chute, which did open. As her descent,
oh, that's all right, then, yeah.
As her descent slowed, she started to spin, and her reserve chute lines tangled, and then the chute deflated about 700 foot above the ground.
Oh, Christ.
She accelerated again, hitting the ground at 80 miles an hour.
I hate that.
Usually when you're, you know, spread eagle like a skydiver, you do about 120 miles an hour. So,
yeah.
But still fast. And emergency services rushed to her. The hospital said, rushed her to hospital. Her entire right side was crushed. All the fillings had fallen out of her teeth. And hospital staff during treatment couldn't believe her heart was still going. She was unconscious.
Yeah.
They couldn't understand why she was still alive.
Why was it?
Then they started noticing around about 200 red marks on her body. She'd landed in a fire ant nest, and the venom she'd been injected with had stimulated her nervous system.
You're kidding me!
That the adrenaline built up in her system had kept her heart beating. After multiple surgeries and recovery, she walked out of the hospital.
That's insane!
She even jumped again 2 years later.
Oh, listen, that's what I don't
Isn't that unbelievable?
I hate it when your second shoot goes.
Right.
And you're looking around to the lads like, all right, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, who did
who's
it?
Who's just done this for a laugh?
Who put a teddy bear
no one's
in my
ever shoved that many ants in my suit, you know what I mean?
What are the chances? We've done a couple of parachutes not opening survivors before on the hero slot, but usually it's like, you know, 20 foot of soft snow or something that's cushioned the fall.
Wow, that's amazing.
Fire ants saved her life.
But it makes you wonder, doesn't it, that that's the sort of accidents like that make, you know, that people won't carry whatever that venom is on them. Just
right.
Shug,
good point.
To be
good
activated, point. You know, so that's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it? Is it not?
Unbelievable.
Adrenaline, of course, does stop as well, you know, blood coming out of wounds.
Right, amazing.
But you'll know that from the dentist and stuff. If you
Absolutely.
You
know. I like to think the ants were trying to help her. Anyway, let's salute her.
No, they obviously... What you,
I
wait
know,
a second,
I'm
before
joking.
Before you start pressing buttons...
I'm
like,
only...
What did you say?
I'm,
you
obviously
do think,
they weren't.
I can tell you think that.
Of course
you had that
they
look
weren't.
On your face, like
of course
your
they
new
weren't.
Theory.
Fire ants are idiots.
But you do you think they were trying to save her, don't you?
Let's salute Joan Murray.
Gav is so obsessed with animals secretly helping. I'm not kidding. During this tune, he'll go, I think they probably were, though, John.
They were singing when they helped her.
Joan Murray. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7. Thang. Salutes you.
X Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang.
Okay, guys, are we ready?
Yeah.
Do you think you can handle this?
I'm ready.
Because I've got the best story, headline ever in the history of story. Is this the slot I should do it, Big Side? Do you think I'm wasting it here? I mean, I could easily take this into a next hour. I tell you what, I'll save it for the next hour.
Oh, no.
because I don't think I've got time here.
Oh.
Oh, no, apparently I've got loads of time.
We have. Come on, let's do it.
Okay. You ready?
Go on.
I need a drum roll for this because this is insane. And don't lay your 30 seconds on me, okay?
Ready?
Okay. Greatest headline in the history of headlines. Space travel. Animal experimentation. Insects. You name it. Another drum roll. This is insane. I can't believe I've got this just right here. Are you ready? Go on, hit it again. Cockroaches fed moon dust must not be sold, says NASA. Christ alive! Yeah.
So many questions.
Right.
A lot to unpack there.
So this is from Debbie White, their American, the United States correspondent.
Yeah.
NASA, right? And that when Apollo 11 came down to Earth, they gave every country on Earth a bit of moon dust.
Right.
A bit of moon rock. But it remains, all moon dust remains the property of NASA.
Right, right.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Because I nearly had the opportunity to nick some.
Oh, yeah.
And I really wish I had. I saw I was in the store cupboard of the Science Museum, which used to be over in West Kent, because I was filming inside the store, and there was a Apollo spacesuit of someone who's been on the moon.
Yeah.
I think in Apollo 16. And on the Velcro patches outside, you could clearly see dust in there. And I just wish I'd got a little bit of paper and just
shake
it
there.
But underneath it all, also, two security guys are watching me and it was being filmed, so, you know, otherwise I definitely would have done.
You'd have been in trouble, yeah.
I'd imagine that, so see that? Moon dust.
Yeah.
That's what moon dust is.
Achoo!
Yeah, right. Anyway.
Go on.
I wasn't going to sniff it.
I didn't anyway, say you were.
Anyway, NASA has blocked the sale of samples of moon dust gathered by the Apollo 11 astronauts and the remains of cockroaches that were fed lunar particles during experiments on Earth.
You're kidding.
Nope.
They actually fed moon dust to cockroaches.
Yeah. The American Space Agency have sent a legal warning to an auction house in Boston. Why are they so protective about it all?
I don't know.
What is going on there?
Yeah.
People say, because they never really went. That's proof, isn't it? Which, incidentally, do you know that how that conspiracy started?
How?
It was put about, the conspiracy that they never went up to the moon was put about. So if anyone comes up with any anti-American conspiracies, people can go, oh, yeah, and I suppose they never went to the moon.
Oh,
and that's
I see.
Why they
yeah,
started
yeah.
that conspiracy.
Yeah.
Anyway, the American Space Agency sent a legal warning to one auction house in Boston after it advertised items, including a vial with about 40 milligrams of moon dust collected by Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin in the first lunar landing in 69, and the carcasses, I tells you, of three dissected cockroaches. Now, guess what the guide price for that was, just for three dissected cockroaches and 400 milligrams of moon dust.
Okay, I'm going to guess, probably £50,000.
Thank you, Gavin. What do you think? Be sensible. I know exactly what you're up to, Gavin. It's pathetic. Sorry, what he does is ludicrously overdoes things because he knows it really annoys geography teachers. When you sort of go, guess how much the new bypass cost? About 60 million? Well, no, it's 5.5 million, but it's still a hell of a lot of money. Yeah. What do you think?
10,000?
No. $400,000.
What?
Yeah.
For some cockroaches.
See, I misled her. Genius, yes. Right? Yeah, that's for three dissected cockroaches and 40 milligrams of dust.
God. Insects.
No, but it just shows you, context is everything.
Yeah, it is.
The carcasses of three cockroaches. You couldn't have anything more worthless on this earth.
Exactly.
But if they've gorged on particles from the moon, they are worth $400,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and you talk to me about context.
Would you like to own those cockroaches?
But it's derivative value, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
It's that. If you want to explain to people derivatives, there you go. Mm. See those cockroaches? Worthless. Feed them a bit of stuff that's been on the moon. Wahey.
Priceless, yeah.
Yeah, no, just go. Wahey. RR Auction described the lot as an extraordinary specimen display. The items have been pulled from the sale, however, because a NASA lawyer told the auctioneer the material belonged to the federal government. Yeah?
Yeah.
So there we go. Like I say, you can't sell anything to do with, like, moon dust. If it's got moon dust, that's owned by NASA. It's non-transferable.
It's like the panda China thing.
Yeah. It's once more.
Yeah.
Once more. It's a Beijing panda. Again.
It's the old Beijing panda.
Beijing panda. Exactly right, Kevin. Thank
all
you.
Pandas that wasn't are owned by China.
You've got every right to look slightly pleased with yourself. Because for once, Kevin, you have not cheese saladed me. You've actually enhanced the end of that story.
Oh. Makes exactly a nice right. change.
NASA, moon dust, China, panda. Radio X. So, Emma Raducanu.
Yeah.
Emma Raducanu. Emma Raducanu. She's in all the papers today.
Yeah.
As you know, she's got a big hooligan following.
Sure. She has, yeah.
Just a dreadful chance
Raducanu
outside.
Firm. Yeah.
You're going to get your second service in. Stuff like that we chant. I go to all her games. Anyway, she was on sparkling form yesterday, not just because she won, but she should do.
Right.
You know, the first round or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But, fourth round match. First round match. She withdrew after her fourth round match last year. She was wearing £35,000 worth of jewellery.
What?
This is worrying, Gav.
During the game?
Yeah.
Right.
Because, as we know, at Eastbourne, at a competition recently, at a tennis competition, players had watches, bags and cash nicked from their hotel.
Right.
In Eastbourne. Because everyone knows while they're playing that, they're they're valuable. You know, obviously, they're going to be in a locker room or in the hotel or something.
Right, right.
In one of those little safes, you know, it's quite easy to get into with a, you know, a basic jammy device.
Short work, something. Easy, those
it's
things.
It's just really short work. I mean, you make light work of those. You can just rip them out of the wall, take the whole safe.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Stick it out the window, someone's downstairs just waiting for them. That's the easiest way to do it.
It is.
Go through,
yeah.
jammy them off the wall, stick them out.
And they're nothing, not big.
They're not big. They're not big. Jammy that over easy. Then resell them to the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we used to do as kids.
Yeah.
I was thinking them hotel safes.
Yeah, had a car with 12 of them in there. Yeah.
Do you know, that's a real Cockney thing, that, isn't it?
What?
Well, it's always sort of talking about crime. I don't know, we used to rob banks as kids. We used to go in there.
Leave your door open.
We used to put a cucumber in a plastic bag and so pretend it was a sawn-off.
Golden memories.
Oh, yeah. We used to walk in there and go, give me your money! Like that. Used to use our old Nan's tights as them masks.
Yeah, she was furious.
Oh, she was literally, you know me robbing banks! I'll kill you if you don't give me 20%. You know, I remember putting a cucumber in a bin bag and going in there and going, give me your money!
Yeah.
Like that. My old Nan used to, she'd box our ears when we got home. I remember getting my ears boxed proper. Whoa, strong as a lion. Not many.
Yeah, we had to cut her in the end.
So we had to cut her in the end. We've ended up ripping safes off from the hotels. We used to go in, pop them off the wall, bang, like that, out the window. Granny'd be outside in a Morris Minor. Put a sheet over it in the convertible. We'd leave them out the window like that. She'd drive off.
Lovely.
We had to find her in the evening just to get our share.
And we just went from now.
I don't know, you know. Oh, I work in the city.
Yeah.
Hey, Gav.
Go on.
Gav. Oh, still a criminal. Yeah. I just do it at a bank now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gav, what worries me is that Raducanu is wearing 35 grand's worth of jewellery on court. Do you think she's doing it because she doesn't want to leave it at home now? No, I'm just saying, I hope this doesn't become a trend that now sports people are just literally going to wear, put it all on.
All their most valuable possessions. Forget.
Yes, just football is going to literally
with like
be,
9 watches down their
they've
arm.
They've worked out they've got 60 million quid's worth just on the Man City lineup alone. Just
earrings,
a parade,
Watches. Yeah, even their trainers are like collectibles.
Yeah, everything they've got. They come in, they've got 30 pairs of trainers by the side of the pitch, watch boxes in the dugout that are winding the watches up.
What I love it is when they, like, I've got this pair of trainers made, right?
Yeah.
But it's got like a Fabergé egg sewn into it.
Yeah, that's a Fab. That's, but they've got Rolexes in the sole. Look.
That's right. Yeah, you can
look,
see.
Underneath
just there, yeah. Diamonds all the way around.
It's Rolex Adidas. It's a collaboration.
Yeah, it's a mashup.
Anyway, that's what worries me, Gab.
It is worrying.
It's kind of going to become like a jewellery parade.
Right, they'll be rattling all over the court.
Say, well, no. Yeah, they'll be rattling. There she was, rattling around the court.
Like a bag of coins.
But also, right, exactly right. like a human fruit machine. But Gav, what worries me is that if this is the first round and she's got 35 grand,
oh my
God. Is she gonna take it up a notch each round?
As they go.
You wait for what I've got lined up next to her. Turns out she gets to the final, she's wearing a crown, like tiaras.
Do you have friends that don't know the appropriate time to eat dinner? Do you know a dog that is treated like a precious newborn baby? Do you have friends that overdo it on the holiday social posts? What would you say to someone who's always posting holiday snaps on Instagram?
Get a f***ing life. What?
People are going to be emailing in with their questions, with their problems.
What do you mean? I'm going to sit there for hours giving people advice on how they should run their lives.
That's the plan. The Wittering Whitehalls, a new podcast rammed full of life advice for all ages.
We'll get an awful lot of losers ringing in to us or whatever they do.
Available now on Global Player.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 Thing.
Radio X.
Recent photos of Boris Johnson at the G7 summit reveal, not for the first time, he's broken Bill Nighy's golden rule of shirt buttons.
And what's that?
He's unbuttoned two.
Two shirt buttons?
He's unbuttoned two, yeah.
With no, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
Bill
Nighy
says it should only be one.
Right.
Always.
Right.
Only one button under.
Yeah, yeah. I like seven.
Gav, listen, I told you once, you can't, seven's really good. You'd have to be a real old toff for that.
No, you do.
Gav,
yeah.
You can't fly in the face of Vaughan's law of buttons.
What's the law, go on?
It's button a decade. Button a decade, if you're still trying to impress people. So, when you're in your teens, you have the top button done up.
Yeah, of course you do, yeah.
Or you're a mod. Oh, you got
very
mod.
Yeah,
well,
you got
the mod gene.
Absolutely right.
Top button done up.
Yeah, yeah.
In your 20s, one button.
Yep.
30s, two buttons.
Two buttons, yeah.
40s, if you're still swinging, three buttons, yeah. 50s, four and so on. Because it's the only bit that can't really get fat, isn't
it's
it?
His chest.
It's sort of, yeah, I've still got a pretty good chest. Right? Oh, bloody hell. The only exceptions rule, Hawaiian shirt rule.
Right.
Where you do what you like.
Right.
Okay. That's a free... A Hawaiian shirt.
You can wear it loose, you can button it up.
Gav, that's a free-for-all.
They're wild. Hawaiian shirts are wild.
Yeah, they're wild. Hawaiian shirts are wild, like goths.
Yeah.
Also, any shirt, you're wearing a normal vest underneath.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's Tony Soprano's law. Uh-huh. It's separate. You can pretty well do what you like. If you've got a vest underneath it,
right,
you're
right.
absolutely fine. But apart from that, it's a button a decade.
Okay,
Sorry, Bill, that's the way it is. What I would say, though, now, despite, I think, being one of the groundbreakers and starting the trend of the suit without a tie and like a stripy shirt, I've gone against that. If you're wearing a suit, always wear a tie.
Sure.
Otherwise, you just look like, oh, I couldn't wait to get my bloody tie off.
Because I'm so rock and roll.
Yeah, just to get out of there and get this bloody... Wearing ties feels quite sharp. It's quite nice.
It goes quite well. Yeah,
of course it does. Yeah. Of course it does. You don't see Vickers with an open neck, do you? And they always look sharp.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
I recently had a short break in Madrid.
Yes.
Thankfully... It was better than the last hotel I went to, which had an extensive selection of pot noodles in reception. This hotel wasn't particularly good.
Yeah.
I stayed in Madrid, which was really central, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I got it because it advertised balcony in each room.
Right.
I had a balcony.
Sure.
I thought, you know, because I like to look out over the city and have a cigar, you know, one of those Spanish cigars.
You're a keen balconist.
I love a balcony. I really do. What I didn't realise is, yeah, it's got a balcony. You can't get out onto it. It's just got a sealed glass
door. Oh, really?
Door. Yeah,
it's just a window.
I could just look at a balcony. I think that's funny. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, plus, a balcony to look at.
That's annoying, man.
No, it's just really annoying.
That's annoying.
It's got one of those windows. You sort of go like that. It just tilts the whole thing backwards.
Oh, no, and it's useless.
To stop you going out there.
Right, right.
So that was really annoying. Mm. Also, another thing I hated, you know, it's a bad hotel. This is another real sign. Same thing at that hotel.
Go on.
No undersheet.
What?
You know, it's just sheet mattress, and you can actually
see the
mattress design under there.
Yeah, that's no good.
You think, I may as well just sleep with every person that's been here before. I may as well literally just spoon the last guest, who I can still smell.
Sure, sure. I mean, you're sharing bed bugs,
essentially. I should just do you mind if I just come in? Do you mind if 20 of us come in spoon?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know you're in a bad hotel when, LSH?
Claire in Oakley says, well, you know you're in a bad hotel when reception tell you you're not allowed to dine with your children and they must eat earlier in a separate room.
Wow. No, you know you're in a really good hotel, so you know you've had a result. Sounds great. Sounds absolutely brilliant. Especially if they keep hold of them while you eat. Genius.
Wow.
Could you even get a dress with that one? Gav, what you got?
Dave in Stockport says, you know you're in a bad hotel when you stub your toe on the corner of the bed only to find it's being held up with breeze blocks. This apparently was in Blackpool in the mid-noughties.
Yeah, Blackpool is good. We're looking at, and I say this with a smile on my face, total collapse.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's gone. It's over.
Right.
I'm sorry, it is. It's like the Atlantic City.
It's like a myth now.
It is become mythological.
Like Atlantis.
I'm afraid abroad has happened. It's not. You can't undo it.
No,
you can't,
it has.
They can't unsee Spain.
Right.
Okay, Gav. This is Adam in Seascale. Thank you for this. You know you're in a bad hotel when the chef uses the sink in your room to wash the pans from the kitchen. You're kidding
me. That's ridiculous. Come on.
No, that can't have happened. Maybe a hose pipe from your room, Adam Martin's hot tap. LSH, what you got?
Well, Dave in Middlesbrough says, you know you're in a bad hotel when that you politely say, would it be rude to ask for some toast? And the reply is yes. And that was in Hull in the late 90s.
Toast? Oh, how dare you?
Do you know what? I got off the tube today, and I don't know if this is rude or not, and this woman just came up to me. She's like northern stuff. And she's going, she goes, excuse me. And I sort of sense her following me a little bit. She's going,
yeah.
She's with the family, all laughing. She's going, excuse me. Could you tell me your name? And I just looked at her and I went, no. And I just walked off. And I sorry, normally I'm very, but it was just so annoying. I was thinking, well, you know, come up and at least go, aren't you?
Yeah, right.
Could you tell me your name? I mean, you could just do that randomly to anyone. Why pick on me? She goes around collecting names. Is it me specifically, or are you just doing some kind of census? We're just trying to keep tabs on the amount of Daves in the area. Anyway, I felt a bit mean, but there we go. Then I felt kind of good, because normally, you know, I'm a bit of a people pleaser like that.
Yeah, you always stop and chat.
Yeah,
always.
Nice. Yeah. What you got there?
This is from Manhattans. I'm guessing that's a family in Wallsend. You know you're in a bad hotel when every room has at least three double beds and there's one bathroom per four rooms.
Oh, yeah.
And it's above a nightclub.
Yes. Yeah, that's bad. The shared bathroom thing's a real problem.
Yeah.
When I first moved around Gloucester Road area.
Yeah.
As like an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
We were in a bad accommodation.
Yeah.
But as soon as that bathroom door shut, you saw every door on all the landings. You could see every opening.
Yeah, it's like a Cliff Richards movie.
Yes. Well, not quite, Gav.
Well, you know, they're always in digs, aren't they? Young pop stars in the 50s.
Okay, Gav.
Go on.
This is a great one. This is from Oz. You know you're a bad hotel when breakfast means a suspicious brown paper bag left outside your door containing a low-fat yogurt and a baby bell. That's 10
Radio X.
Gav, there's some bad news I've got for you now.
Oh, really? What?
I'm afraid the party's over for the Airbnb louts.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because they're sun, sea and sand feature in most travellers' plans for Dream Holiday.
Yeah.
But Holly Meggs, with a taste for more raucous breaks, have led Airbnb to ban parties.
Oh, what?
Do you know something? It's been one of the nicest things in my life. The fact you just pick a house, yeah? Go there, say it's four of you staying.
Yeah.
Party.
Sure.
The hell out of the house, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, me and the guys from the gym, we go down there, let me tell you, yeah? Mm.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just chicken carcasses alone, yeah?
And that's just for the tiger.
Once we've just boiled them. All the boiled chicken we'll be having. But Gav.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, isn't that kind of what's gonna happen?
Right. So this is the business, yeah?
Right.
Party houses.
Yes.
Yes. Party B&B.
I like that.
Yeah.
Purpose built.
Yes. Yes, and they're all tiled, and you just got a hose and tables like screwed to the floor.
A drain hole in the
like
centre.
Pie and mash shops used to be. And you just a drain hole in there, beds with those like those beds you have in police cells.
Right.
So essentially, that's it.
Yeah.
Like a sort of custody sergeant at the desk.
X Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
It is my cousin Chris's birthday. He has done so much for me over the years. He's such a good bloke. And weirdly, he's just got a place in Tenby. He's retired now. He's taken early retirement. He's fundamentally quite a lazy character. But the weird thing is he's Christopher. My other cousin is also Chris. He's a Christian. By that, I don't mean religiously. I don't know what his beliefs are. We've never really discussed it. But he's also a Chris. So I'd like to celebrate both those cousins today. In a double-headed Chris celebration. In fact, I'm going to widen it. I'm going to celebrate every darn Chris out there. You might be a Christoph, a Chrissy, yeah? A Christine. Whatever you are, if you're a Chris, get down with this, yeah? 83936. I want to celebrate your favourite Chris. Send him a shout-out. Tell us a bit about them, whatever. If it's Chris, then they're down with this. If you love a Chris, get down with us, yeah?
The 4 till 7 Things Chris Hour. One hour of the biggest Chris hits. The best Chris has to offer. This is the 4 till 7 Thangs Chris Hour. Radio
X. Just to say as well, our own in-house Chris, Moyles, I think he's left a message for us. I'll be playing that later on this celebration of Christmas. Our own leading Chris stepping in as well. Looking forward to hearing that because I know he's on holiday. If you are listening, thank you so much, Moyles, for that. That's going to be hilarious. Are you ready for this, guys? I thought it's high time we celebrated Chris's everywhere just because we get a hell of a lot of Chris's, particularly on Mexican handbags. For some reason, it's a Chris game, yeah? But Chris is a short form, various names, including Christopher, Christian, Christina, Christine, Christos, Christabel. Christopher was frequently the most popular male first name in the United Kingdom. It's been in the top 20 and in England and Wales from the 1940s until 1995. It's since dropped out of the 100, but I feel sure this is going to give it a shot in the arm. 298 recorded Chris's last year. That's how things are looking for the UK Chris's. Can I just say, lovely text just came in, Stanley in Wakefield. Big up to my mate Chris with a K, Wilkins. He pulled his shoulder doing something awesome. I don't know what, but that's from his mate Stanley. I like that. Just to also say, someone keeps sending us messages with their, obviously with their Alexa, because it's the orange thing that comes up. But whoever's just said, buy eggs and cheese, that's not us again, all right? And also, the person who's texted us in, Kylie, has texted in Daddy. And the other one was from James. Cut it out. This is Chris Day. We need the space for that. So let's have a little look at some of our Chris's. Please, some suitable music, Simon, to celebrate. A little bit, something a little bit Chris in the background. Why is this Chris? What? No, always answer what, with a burp and then why not? Okay, this is Tough John. My brother is a Chris. He's a roofing magician. Sure. That's Tom the Medic. I'm the original Chris Giorgio, 37-year-old self-employed gas engineer from North London. Just had his tools nicked in the car park of a well-known Scandinavian furniture brand store. For Chris' sake, hope they catch these bottom-feeding scumbags. Thanks, Chris. Nice to see you, though. We've put you in good humour. I hope that's that's got rid of some of the pain of that annoyance. Hi, T. Jake. He said, big thank you to my mate Chris. He's driving all the way back from Dorset to meet me later. That's from Mark. How about that? Big shout to my main man, Pris P. Duck. Seeing you later. Lots of love. That's from Tough Dixie. I like this one. You ready? This is every day is Chris Day in my house. My favourite Chris is my new hubby, Christian. I love him to bits. And that's from Katie. How sickening. I'd like to celebrate myself, my dad, and also my granddad. We are all called Chris. That's from Christopher the Third in Gravesend. Thanks very much. How about this? Big up to my cousin, Chris. He's just spent 4 hours practicing his karate in the garage. He was hoping that the girl he has a crush on was going to turn up and see him. Happy Christmas to all of you. This is Coldplay. Wow, TJ, I'm a Chris. And today at 16:16:16, a second we celebrated, I received a text message that read, hey, Chris, your tire is fixed. What a day. It's Chris Day on Radio X. Radio X. Let's have a message from our own in-house Chris, Mr. Moyles himself. He got involved. Here we go.
Johnny, it's Chris Moyles speaking. What can I say? Seriously, thank you so much on behalf of all Chris's everywhere for giving us our day, our time to shine as Chris's, as Christopher's. You know, there's been some bumpy roads along the way as a Chris, as all Chris's will tell you. You know, not every Chris is a great Chris. Not every Chris is a Chris Tarrant. Who could remember the Evans of the late 90s? But now, our chance to rise. And on behalf of Chris's everywhere, Chris Tarrant, Chris Pratt, Chris Mass, Chris the Lord, thank you. And I can't wait for National Johnny Day. Cheers.
Thank you very much indeed. Our own Moylesy there. Cheers for that. He could have had, you know, he could have had Chris Pine, Chris Jenner, Christina Ricci, Christina Aguilera, Christine Applegate, Princess Christina of the Netherlands, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Rock, Chris Isaac, Christopher, Chris Hoy, Chris Eubank, Christopher Plummer, Cristiano Ronaldo, Ludacris. We're living in a world of Chris. You feel me?
Radio X.
Can I just say, this time of year, there's something quite evil happens in a lot of offices and workplaces.
What?
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This here's the 4-7 thing on Radio X. You might have noticed it as you walked through today.
What?
On the way here. Well, did you notice what was playing in Classic FM as we walked past? What was on the screens in there?
Oh, yes, I did.
Right.
There's the familiar green field.
All right, Kev, don't ever do it. Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Right, Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Don't. Is it on in the newsroom as well, or have you just got newsroom?
It's on in the newsroom. Yeah,
yeah, right, right. Now, why is that? Why is Wimbledon alone amongst sporting events? I'll tell you why. It's because the boss lets you put Wimbledon on. Do you know why?
Why?
To assert his position as being from a slightly different social class. Because what? Because the boss, all bosses are great tennis fans, yeah?
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Go on then, you can watch Wimbledon. And I'll tell you why, because it's not distracting, because most games are incredibly dull.
And long. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
right.
You may as well have a test card on in the background.
Right, there's no one cheering, like
no
a football
cares.
Match.
No one cares. No, not until late on. Yeah. No. Especially not sort of in the last game, and it's sort of like, what, mixed doubles, and no one cares.
Yeah.
So don't be fooled, yeah? It's class war we're fighting, comrades, all right? Don't let them Wimbledon you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they don't put the darts on, do they?
No, they don't. And they don't put snooker on.
No.
Please be watch. Go on then, you can watch a bit of snooker. You know, they don't have that on.
No, they won't.
Look, some offices, someone was telling me they let them watch the Tour de France now, because cycling's gone aspirational, you know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
It's like sailing or tennis. Yeah, Tour de France.
No, no. Do you know what? It, to me, cycling, if you're watching that, it puts the ass in aspiration, Gav. Yeah. I'm just saying, protest, say no, we don't want Wimbledon on.
Yeah.
I don't want it on.
That's
why
right.
That? Can't we have a decent film?
Yeah, or some Speedway.
Yes. No, can't we just have a decent... How about we just watch a decent film, sir?
Right. No, because then
boss,
you'll watch it.
Boss, how about we can, we watch anything on Eurosport? Have we watched Monster Trucks? Something like that. Can we watch UFC highlights from the weekend on BT? Yeah,
boxing.
Yes, can we just watch boxing then?
Tyson's greatest
go 10. On then, you can have the Wimbledon on. God, you patronising git. You were once sitting here, what, suddenly because you've been promoted, you're suddenly like... Part of the plutocratic class. Yeah? I will not be exploited by you, boss. Lord, get it off.
Right.
I'll come back in, it's just turned off.
Yeah.
Go, well, it's, what, why? I said, well, we don't watch football, do we? We don't watch boxing. We all rather watch a film, actually.
Yeah.
And go home.
Than have your
TV
tennis.
On in the background. Or really cock up at work. Make a horrendous mistake.
Right.
Deliberately. Make a mistake and say, well, can I say, well, I was distracted by the tennis you put
on.
Yeah,
the tennis.
Blame him. Say, well, we're all distracted because he made us watch tennis. Or she made us watch tennis. But whatever you do, do not watch it, yeah? If you do, you are bowing to a ruling elite that have exploited the lumpen proletariat for too long. And it's part of plutocratic vanguardism, yeah, to try and lead to a schism within the proletariat when they should be working.
Hello, Chris Moyles here. I'm so sorry to interrupt your podcast enjoyment. I'm with my friend Dominic Byrne.
Hello there, I'm sorry.
You may remember us, we used to be on the radio back in the day. Well, we still are.
Still doing it.
Anyway, we do a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called The Chris Moyles Show on Radio X Podcast, and it's all the best bits of our radio show from the week, with all those pesky songs and things taken out.
That's it.
And some hilarious things in there.
I'm just really laughing thinking about it.
Download it right now from Global Player.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Gang, I'm afraid just got real.
Wow.
Get this, yeah? This is global warming. Mm-hmm. And like, just one of those things you sort of think this is slowly how normal life is eroded,
right.
Taken from us.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By thoughtless rich people.
Sure.
And that's what it's about. It's about you, when you see people, occasionally on holiday, you see people go past on a super yacht.
Yeah.
And you think, do they look like the kind of guys that care about the environment?
Right, right.
Or have got anything other than short-term gain?
Sure.
And also know that they'll probably be all right.
Yeah.
That money will get them out of this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, right, right. When you see someone reading the Daily Mail, there you go. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
Hairdressers and barbers in an Italian town.
Mm.
Guess what they've been banned from? And this says it all, Gav.
Banned from?
Double washing hair.
Really?
Yeah.
They can't do a double wash?
To save water. Worst drought for decades. People can't remember when this last happened. Barbers couldn't double wash their thick, lustrous Italian locks that need...
their Roman coiffures.
Yeah, yeah, they need double washing, right?
Wow.
This is near Bologna.
Okay.
Guy says, we've got about 10 hairdressers with hundreds of clients a day. That means there are thousands of litres we can save every day.
My God.
10 hairdressers, hundreds of clients a day, very thick Italian hair. getting double washed. That's it. And that, yeah?
Yeah.
Just got real.
It's amazing.
Radio X.
Milton, my youngest.
Yeah.
And this is a massive disappointment.
What?
He's found he could... Door handles. And he's at the age of door handles, doors, handles, sure. Just all the time.
Right.
Going through, just using door handles.
Yeah, he loves them. Great.
But the other thing is I've got roller blinds.
Yeah.
Blackout blinds on all the windows that count.
Yeah.
And he can now reach the chain thing.
Oh, man.
And he's just really enjoying just winding it up. To the effect now that all of them, you know, they've got some sort of... little device that sort of makes them infinite.
Right.
The, you know, the chain that
goes
through.
Goes round and round.
Yeah, but it's got something that does it. They're not naturally...
Oh, okay, right.
I don't know, the guy who did it was a cretin.
It's like a gearing thing or something.
No, it's not a gearing. No, it's just a clip that clips two of the balls together
right.
to make it continuous.
Oh, I see, yeah,
well, he's
yeah.
broken them all.
Oh, no.
Because he's bitten them.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I've got all the metal things all on the ground.
That's like a master link, isn't
it? And yeah, right, yeah, the master link,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And right up at the top. Is the chain. So I've had to get, and they're really high ceilings in my Victorian flat.
And he's too cute to have a stern word with.
I said, no, just stop touching the chains. No, but I've had to go and try and go up there and try and extract the chain from the thing.
Bit,
and
it's just, you need those little thin pliers or something.
It's like one of those very niggly games of football.
Right.
Not a niggle.
Yeah.
And I was just so annoyed. He was just looking up at me, really like, wow. And then as soon as I connect it, so I had it running through, I saw him down at the bottom. Really, it was just really, I can't get across to him.
No, impossible.
What can you do? You can't
He's
get across
to him.
He's
too young still, yeah.
83936, what's
yeah,
little one
note
to annoy you? What can you do? You can't get across to them, can you?
Yeah.
You can't. When can you? When can you? Oh, good child.
I know.
No, what age can you?
I know. I don't know. I think it's got to be, what, 7 or 8, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. 83936.
Yeah, I don't know.
When can you be cross?
Yeah.
Never, like, really cross.
When do they need to think on?
Yes, right. I told you not to touch it.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Let's turn to little Si. Simon.
No.
So, what happened? You, someone speculated the fact you broke 3 tyre levers suggests tricycle. I rather like it. That made me laugh. But go on.
Chips in Gravesend sent that. That's brilliant.
Thank you so much. Go on, Simon, what happened?
Okay, so I had a puncture in my bike, right?
My bike.
I was talking to Gav about it.
Yeah.
And last week, Gav said, it is so satisfying if you can repair it yourself.
Yeah, don't get a new inner tube. Just repair it.
Okay. One, Gav spends his life fluctuating between Twitter and YouTube how-to videos, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
Two, he's insanely good with his hands. He can do everything. He's a brilliant guitarist. Yeah. He's a fantastic virtually self-taught chef. Gav can do anything. He's one of those people who can do anything. They tell him. He made his own guitar, you know? That puts him in the Brian May spectrum of can-do, all right?
And I haven't even started on the badges.
Yeah, right. Right. So don't even...
I know. Well, I thought it'd be easy, didn't I?
It is easy.
No, if Gav tells you something is easy, it doesn't mean it is. It means he's watched a YouTube video and he can somehow... But you and I aren't made of the same stuff.
No.
What happened?
So, went out and bought all the gear. Cycle Shop, incidentally, is a Radio X listener. So hello to you.
What's their name? I like that. That's
Encyclopedia in Tolworth.
It's Surbiton shop. Anyway,
is it Encyclopedia?
Well, it's not far from Si's house. I know that shop. It's a good bike shop.
Anyway, I thought I was really confident. I'd watched some YouTube clips. I knew how to do it. Gav said it was easy.
It is easy.
So I thought I'd give it a go.
Okay. And what did you think?
Well, I found that I got the tyre off. That was not a problem.
Yeah.
Getting tyres off is no problem at all. They're flat.
Yeah, well, that's right. That was
right. That's just like saying I managed to get an elastic band off a roll of something. I mean, it's easy. Yeah.
But then you've got to get the inner tube out.
Yeah, the inner tube, fine. I took the wheel off in the end.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
right.
I took the wheel off.
And what did you do the wheel off?
Suggested not doing
that. I said you don't have to if you use a repair kit.
Yeah.
You just pull out the bit that's got the hole in it.
Yeah,
stick a
I couldn't
on
do
it.
That.
What's your technique for identifying where the hole is, Gav?
Well, the last time I did one, I knew where the nail had gone into the tyre. So
that really helps.
Exactly,
and if you've got a nail sticking out, but otherwise, would you still go for water?
Fairy liquid,
water, fairy liquid.
And
I did that
because it bubbles up.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, but I know that.
Sure,
I know that.
Well, I didn't know that. Gav told me that last week, so I didn't.
Well, you didn't
that.
Know that's how you find out by using bubbles.
No.
Oh God, you're like pond life in the world of cycle repair.
Done it before.
No, that's no, you really haven't. If you don't know that, even people who haven't ever repaired one know that fact.
These techniques go back to the '20s.
Yeah, no, before
earlier,
that.
Yeah,
they're older than cycle clips.
Right.
Go on, then. What did you do?
Well, okay, so filled it. I thought I'd fixed it. It was fine. Put it into the tyre. Could I get the tyre on? Oh, no, I couldn't. There's so much effing and jeffing. Trying to get these tyres. I had these levers and I just couldn't get the tyre on. It was so...
Hang on, wait a second. You didn't inflate it before you put it round the wheel?
Half inflated.
You can do it a little bit. That's right.
You need to do that. Yeah.
But what, did you get the first bead on and then you couldn't get the second bead on?
Couldn't get the last bit of the tyre back on.
Right.
So, and it was stuck out. The tip is, I went to the cycle shop this morning.
Go on.
He fixed it. The tip is...
Oh! I knew you had! Yeah. I knew you had!
He gave it.
Sorry. Originally in the office, he goes, no, they didn't fix it. No. They showed me how to fix it. I knew you went round there and fixed it.
What was the tip?
The tip was you've got to do everything the opposite to the valve. The valve.
Right.
Because that's the looser bit of the tyre. So there we go. So I learned something today.
Yeah, well, no, you had someone else fix it. What you've learned is it's a lot easier to go down to Cyclopedia in...
Yes.
Tolworth.
Yeah. That's Tolworth. That's Cyclopedia Tolworth. In Tolworth for all your cycle repair needs. A great selection of bicycles and genuine repair know-how. Go to Tolworth Cycles. Cyclopedia. Thank you, Simon. I knew you hadn't.
Yeah.
And you were going to try and keep the lie up right till the start of this item. And do you know what you did? You've actually dobbed it. You're like self-grassing.
I helped him.
What? What, you helped the expert?
Yeah, no, he was guiding me through it. And...
Yeah, right. I helped him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's George Godfrey. Good as gold. How are you, George? You have a nice weekend?
I did, yeah. I had a very nice weekend. I played squash again.
Did you?
We're into that now, me and you.
I played squash on Friday. When did you play?
We played in Islington. I'm getting ready for our game, Tej.
Well, do you know something? At the moment, unfortunately, what's happened is, because I take a massive amount of steroids and just concentrate on building this incredible physique, muscle can grow around. My fitness isn't too good. It's suffered. I haven't been getting in the road work because I want to get the perfect bucket. So I haven't been getting that in, unfortunately. No, because I just sacrificed it all to get this kind of body, right?
Sure.
Check it out!
Wow. I can't fit it in all my eyes.
I know, in all my eye. So, George, what you got on your show tonight?
Tonight, we have got my classic album of the week. We're celebrating 25 years of Prodigy, Fat of the Land.
Oh, my God.
Turns 25 this Friday.
Yeah.
Mm. Big, big one.
It's like yesterday it came out. It's unbelievable.
Oh, man. We've got tickets to give away.
Sorry,
for
it's
Libertines.
Utterly believable. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Libertines playing Wembley, giving away some tickets for that.
Fantastic.
Which will be absolutely brilliant. And we've got a little compilation that we're putting together
this week. What's your compilation this week? Just so they can start thinking about it.
So we're going to put together a mixtape of Thursday night of songs where you've misheard the lyrics and you've just thought they were something else for
years.
Well,
it's just every single tune on every Kings of Leon album, right?
I was going to say, yeah. We are.
That's it. It's going to be a lot of Kings of Leon. But the trouble is, I've never actually heard a lyric. I've just heard, I don't know what.
So you mean the whole crowd that's listening to them, that's singing along, they're all doing misheard lyrics?
Muse is a bit different because it's not so much misheard, it's just... What the hell are they on about?
One of our listeners, Sarah Jane, said that she thought Eaton Rifles by The Jam was He Turned Right Boy.
I know, He Turned Right Boy. Have you got any, George? That you...
I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. But...
I'll tell you another one. Bee Gees, I used to always think you come to me on a submarine instead of Summer Breeze for that tune. Always, I'm quite confidently singing, come to me in a submarine, which is a really odd thing for someone to do, right, isn't it?
It's romantic, at least.
Yeah, but it's not as romantic as you come to me on a summer breeze. I really miss the great romantic tune of the disco era, Gavin.
Yeah, but you're no sailor.
I know. Sailor. Good man. I know, but I thought they... You're right, it is unlikely you'd come on... What, and suddenly... The hatch pops open and go, I love you! Goodbye! Or, I loves you, sir.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you'd like to get in touch about any of the issues raised in the show, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thanks. Radio.